Welcome back to another Baylor Hate Week special.
Yes.
Of Toad
Hatred
Talk.
Springs anew.
It's an everlasting hatred. You hear about everlasting love a lot. Here's an everlasting hatred for TCU and Baylor. And honestly, I think we all hate underperforming offenses, and that's what we're going to see this weekend for sure.
Yeah, the offensive struggle session, that is the revivalry in 2020.
Billy Wessels, Clint Foster here. Clint, I've made a bunch of notes, and I was like, I don't want to even want to talk about the Oklahoma game, but you're like, no, I got to say some stuff about Oklahoma. So I'll let you get some Oklahoma beef off your chest.
Dude, that was, to be quite frank, it was one of the most disgusting things that I think I've ever seen as far as a TCU effort goes. Because this isn't your typical loss to Oklahoma, right? This isn't a playoff contending, you know, one of the best teams in the nation, Oklahoma. This is an Oklahoma that talent-wise is not three scores better than you. And we looked completely apathetic about honestly even wanting to be there after Blair Conright's should have been touchdown, right? I mean, it was so disheartening. You know, everyone goes back to that, and we were talking about it before we started recording, the punt on 4th-and-1 when you're down by 2 or 3 scores, whatever it was, inside in the shadow of your own goalpost. You didn't even want to win the game. And it's really, really concerning and frustrating to me because for me and you, like, this is a Homer podcast, right? We're always going to look for the silver lining. We're always going to look for the positive. And we have been saying this team is close, right? This team is close. This defense is close. This offense is not close. And I'm very, very concerned. I love TCU football. You know this about me. All of y'all know this about me. But I'm concerned because when you look at the way that game went, it's almost as if the winning culture that we have gotten so used to seeing at TCU, that was so in our DNA, right? That chip on the shoulder, it's like it doesn't exist anymore. Now, I can't say that it seems that way, right? I don't have any inside knowledge. I haven't been at practices, and it certainly appears like there's leaders on this team, but it feels like, and I've talked to other former players about this, it feels like this program in the last 3 years has become comfortable with losing, and that is absolutely not a place that you want to be in. It's when they put that pyramid up in the team meeting room, it's always the same piece at the top. What does that piece say at the top, Billy?
National
championship. And I have a hard time believing that the teams of the last 3 years looked at the top of that pyramid and really saw it as something that, yes, that's attainable, that's something that we're working for. Now, I know these are strong words, And this is literally just a fan's perspective. And if I am wrong, I hope I am wrong. But man, we've got no offensive identity, and we don't appear. Now, defense is a different story. Defense, you see the hustle, but you don't see that same hustle, that same want to a lot of times on offense. And it's not helped by the fact that, you know, in a lot of situations, our players aren't really being necessarily used in the ways that are most complementary to them. We have these great running backs, right? We have really failed to establish a consistent running game. And it's like, if you want to play ball control, if you want to play, hey, let's be that defensive team that that we used to be back in the Mountain West days, where we play incredible defense and we play ball control and we just pound you into the ground, do that. But we're not even doing that, right? We have these great running backs that we're like, here's 5 carries, you know, and, or like Zach Evans at the end of the game looked great. And it's like, well, where has he been? Or then again, too, if you want to lean into it, you've got Doug Meacham and Sonny Cumbie. These guys, these are intelligent human beings. They know how to run a spread offense. Turn them loose and let them run it. If you're going to go that route, because you've got talent on this team. Again, this is a team, you've got a tremendous young quarterback. You've got outstanding talent at the receiver position. I mean, Quentin Johnston looked great at times in that game. Tay Barber looked great at times in that game. Pro Wells, oh my God. We saw Pro Wells for the first time in what felt like a million years. And we've seen this offense look good against Texas. We haven't seen it look good outside of Texas and 1 half against Iowa State. And that is, it's unconscionable and it's really troubling. And I am confident about a win this week, but I'm not confident that I'm going to leave this week still feeling good about, I don't want to say direction of the program necessarily, I feel like that's a little too strong, but definitely direction of the rest of the season. There's a lot of concerns I have, I feel like there's a lot of concerns a lot of fans have, and there don't appear to be a lot of answers in front of our face.
So, the pun you referred to. Let me get.
I ranted.
Attack. Oh, you. Yes. Yeah, you want to.
Let me take my soapbox down now.
No, that's fine. Get off my table, please. It's very yeah. nice. The punt came with 8:33 left, 4th and 1, TCU their own 19. But if the TV announcers were surprised by the punt, and everyone's like, TCU fans like, yeah, haven't you been here before? Are you familiar with what TCU does?
Even so, almost the entire stadium booed. I was there. And it's not like, yes, it would have been very difficult to come back and win that game with that amount of time left. But the message you send with that call is, we don't care. We're not interested in winning. We concede.
Or you don't believe you can get 1 yard in a do-or-die scenario.
Yeah, one yard!
Yeah, 1 yard and again, you probably weren't going to come back anyway, but you were a millimeter away from a touchdown earlier in the game with Blair Conright. So that should have been a two-score game at that point, I believe. And you have to settle for this. And you're right, this is not a three-score worse team than Oklahoma talent-wise. They're just not. And people calling for GB's job are stupid.
No, that's completely foolish. Completely foolish and off base. That's asinine to call for Coach B's job.
Now, we would like to see a refresher on offense. The defense is still, still there. I mean, the 33 points against Oklahoma aren't great, but how many times do they get deep on you and you held them to a field goal?
There are some
accomplishments there.
Quite frankly, if you're giving up 33 points to a Lincoln Riley offense, that is not a bad day. That's nothing to sneeze at all. I mean, you have an opportunity to win that game if your offense is performing to Big 12 standards. And that's the issue. It hasn't been.
7 of TCU's, 12 drives here were 5 plays or less. like if you're...
It felt that way.
You're putting the defense out there enough. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 drives. So 7 of them were 5 plays or less. that's terrible. And none of them were more than like 8, I don't think.
Well, and you know, it's so hard to really put a pulse on what is happening as an outsider, you know. And I don't want to ruffle any feathers unnecessarily. But when you see maybe this is a situation of, yes, you lost some spring practices. COVID made things really weird with preparation. But you see plays sometimes, and this is specifically offensively, and I think it probably factors into the defense as well because of the number of big plays we've given up so far, where guys are not only out of position, they seem confused. One of the plays that really sticks out in my mind from that Oklahoma game that just, I was like, are you kidding me, is we had a screen on the outside. It was near the TCU sideline. You had 3 offensive linemen out there to block 2 guys, and neither of them got touched. And what easily could have been a first down, very likely a bigger gain than that, was a loss. And that is like, come on, man. you know, to quote Joe Biden, come on.
You took Oklahoma's Spencer Rattler. He only had 13 completions in the game.
Yeah.
Only had 13 completions.
You held, oh my gosh. If you hold a passing offense to, that's what I'm saying. It wasn't a bad defensive game. 33 points, 13 completions. That's a game that is winnable.
Yeah.
But not with the way we've been, and perform even feels like a strong word, the way we've looked on offense since the Texas game. And that's the other thing that's just befuddling about it, is that Texas game, there were so many positives, so much that we were like, the arrow's pointing up, and the last 8 quarters have just been a nightmare now as we come into Halloween week, right? Hopefully we expunge the nightmare and exact it on Baylor here. But my goodness, you can't continue down this course and expect things to get better. And Coach P's an intelligent person. I would go as far as to say a football genius. He knows this. I hope to goodness gracious that we can exact some positive change here and get the ship turned back in the right direction. Because that was troubling, man. That was troubling.
If this year ends and your only wins are against Texas and Kansas, there's got to be some changes on offense.
Significant.
There will definitely be significant changes on offense.
I would say there would definitely be.
And I think that would happen. I think that would stand to reason to happen sooner if you lose to this Baylor team.
No, yeah. If you
lose this Baylor team,
you better press the panic button.
I'm panicking because, again, Baylor has not been good either. This is, like you said, underperforming offenses to say the least.
Yeah.
They have scored more than 20 points one time this season.
No.
They scored 47 against Kansas, Whoop-de-doo. And they lost to West Virginia on the road. They lost to Texas on the road. So they haven't lost at home yet. They only played one home game. So it's we'll see how this goes. I think if this if you lose this game and you lose it embarrassingly like that, some changes need to happen sooner rather than later.
Yeah, I don't think you can even wait till the end of the season if that's the case.
No, but I don't know what you do
because
like in the middle of this year, you can't poach someone from someone else's team in the middle of a season unless you find like. Unless you can talk North Dakota State's offensive coordinator out of their job or whatever right now.
Yeah.
Like someone who's not playing. But I don't know what you do in the middle of a season, a pandemic season, nonetheless. But if you give up more than like 28 points to this, if you give up 33 points to this Baylor team, you're in trouble.
Oh my gosh, yes.
And if you only score 14 points to this Baylor team, you're in trouble.
Yeah, again.
So.
Because this is a Baylor team that's, you know, they're essentially in full-on rebuild again. They lost so many players from that team last year, and they're attempting to put in a whole new system with zero preparation time, you know?
Yeah, no. I think this game, I compared it to a hand of blackjack, first one to 21 wins.
Yes.
Like, and I think that's a fair assessment of how
very
bad,
fair,
these,
very
how bad
fair.
These offenses are so far. Charlie Brewer, watching him the last couple years, I feel like he gets concussed almost every other play, but also his shoulder is jacked up. I don't know how he's – it's almost like malpractice of putting him out there
to his
own body.
It's sad. It's sad, to be honest. Exclamation point. Sad. I mean, goodness gracious, between the concussions and you know he's got shoulder issues, which was why – I mean, almost certainly why he can't throw further than 10 yards down the field. But, yeah, I mean, this – the defense should have a heyday with this Baylor team on offense. So it's just a matter of can you score enough to win?
Yeah,
because they're going to bring pressure.
Yep.
You know that. If you are a breathing human being with a pulse who watches TCU film this year, you are going to bring pressure, but especially a Dave Aranda defense.
Dave Aranda, for sure.
Yes, and he's probably going to disguise a lot of those blitzes. So Max very well may be running for his life. Maybe this is the game that you say, okay, we are going to do that ground and pound thing. We've got five fantastic running backs and an offensive line that is better in run blocking than they are in pass blocking. But my goodness, please commit to it if you're going to do it. Because if you do that, then, you know, it's you could have like a Kyle Hicks by committee situation, if you get what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like where he went off in 2016 and had five touchdowns.
In 2016.
Yeah.
Looking at the schedule also, though, this does seem to be the beginning of the lighter portion of it. Because you have already faced, like, just looking at the quarterbacks in the conference, we're going to throw Kansas State out of this because they were playing a freshman that shouldn't have been out there in the first place. Mm. But you've already faced Brock Purdy, Sam Ehlinger, and Spencer Rattler. The only real threat there is Oklahoma State at the end. I think they have some issues up and down with their quarterback situation, too. These next four games are quarterbacks that don't scare you or offenses that don't really scare you.
Yeah.
With Baylor, Tech, West Virginia, and Kansas, so you have to win this game, man. I keep saying I don't really know what else to say. They've got two running backs that don't even want to be there.
Yeah,
like Jason Ebner and John Lovett are their two running backs. They both opted out for like a day earlier this season, and they were talked and basically coerced into coming back to play some more.
Yes.
Like I don't know what they did to them.
The press conference immediately after that announcement was like, "Oh no, they're just fine. They're perfectly happy.
Sure,
nothing
sure,
to see here."
I'm sure it was not against their will whatsoever. But those two guys, I mean, you don't know how much they want to even be out there. I mean, 80% of it, they have 80% of their running back carries this season, and then Charlie Brewer has the other. He's like second on the team in carries. So that's if you get him running, I think you feel okay about it.
Yeah.
But like, who wants to play this game? It seems like neither team, like on offense, really wants to try and win. We'll know on Saturday.
Yeah.
But going into neither team has been lights out. No one wants to score. No one wants to win this game. It seems like.
Yeah.
Looking in.
Yeah, I mean, and of course. I mean, you said must win. I mean, Baylor feels like a must win every year, you know, if you're a TCU fan. But yes, in a stretch where three of these next four games, I think, are 100% winnable, right? Like, at bare minimum, you should expect to beat Baylor, split Tech in West Virginia, and beat Kansas.
I would say beat Tech because it's at home. West Virginia is
West Virginia is the one that terrifies me. Yeah. I think that their defensive line could have a heyday with us. So, yeah, ideally, you're looking at beat Baylor, Tech, and Kansas, but this Baylor game specifically because, you know, Tech has at least done some positive things this year on offense. They're at least starting to get things going under Matt Wells. Baylor is a mess. If you don't win this Baylor game, I mean, smash that panic button as hard as you freaking can.
God, TCU's ninth in the conference. I didn't realize that they're that them and Texas Tech are the only 1-3 teams.
Yeah, we're 1-3, man.
And Baylor's 1-2 in the conference and overall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right.
Like, that's just kind of how, like, I just don't feel good about this season right now. Let's see what else is going good for Baylor. RJ Sneed, again, my name might sound familiar. Him and Tristan Edward were both former TCU commits at the time. Mm-hmm. He's got 15 catches on the year for 161 yards. Terrell Bernard has been great at linebacker for them. He's kind of their leading force on defense. And Riley Tejada has been great, too. That name should sound familiar to you, Ranthony's little brother.
Yeah.
So good for him. Glad to see him do well. I don't want anyone else on Baylor to do well. But I like the Tejada family. So
yeah, I've met their dad before. I met him actually at the Arkansas game.
He's funny, right?
Yeah, he's great.
Yeah, he's a character. If you ever talk to Jeremy, next time you talk to Jeremy, ask him to do his impression of him. It's spot on. He nails it. Jeremy's great at impressions.
Oh, wow, good to know.
He's fantastic. And, like, his Coach P is money. He does great impressions, and I don't do them hardly well at all. So on the TCU side of things, can Duggan stay upright? That's the same issue every week.
Copy and paste that to every week.
Number one stat figure at whatever you want to know.
And you know what, man? I mean, and it is concerning with Wes Harris going down. I mean, you're talking about arguably the most talented member of that offensive line. I mean, you could make a case certainly for Esteban Avila, for Coy McMillan, but Wes Harris he's been pretty consistent this year. So that's a big loss on an offensive line that's already struggling. You've got to keep Duggan upright, and hopefully this is the week to do it, because I don't know. I'm grasping at straws.
We're both just so tired. And then it doesn't get much better on the defensive side of things. Noah Daniels out for the year.
Yeah.
That's a bummer. Tony Wallace opted out. And Artavius Lynn's out for the year as well on the offensive side of things. So things are going great for these two programs. Things are going really good going into this week.
But, you know, here's something I'd like to see, though. And this is part of this is being a Cowboys fan as well and just being livid over the lack of response to the targeting call on Andy Dalton. But you've seen a little bit of this on TCU, too, where Max takes a hit, he takes a hit, and it doesn't feel like the offensive line is stepping up with that protective mentality, right? So you can't help if someone beats you necessarily, if someone's better than you. If guys are getting to Max, I want to at least see offensive linemen stepping up, maybe getting in the face of a defensive lineman, helping Max up, having that bodyguard mentality, right? Show me that you care, right? Show me that you care about it.
You need some fire. Somebody's got to step up and be that guy. And as crazy as it sounds, Kelton Hollins is like a great motivational speaker. Let him fire you up.
Yeah.
Whether or not he's a starter right now or not, or his role on the team is kind of in flux, it seems like, as far as his playing time goes. Like, let him fire somebody up on the offensive line. He is amazing at that. So, does somebody play well on the offensive line? Give him a chance.
Somebody play well.
Give Duggan a chance to use these great receivers. We've seen good things. Barber started to come along a lot last week. Blair Conrad, Quentin Johnston. Got to get Pro Wells more involved for sure, too.
Yes, my goodness. Like, you've got these outstanding weapons. If you would only but use them, right? Just use them.
Yep.
My goodness gracious. I mean, golly.
We don't know what else to say. You keep beating your head against the wall. It's the same stuff over and over again. That we're just annoyed and disappointed. And maybe it's the fact that we had, 17 years of perennially a top 10 to 15 program every year. And now we're like bum for a year. And I still think next year's going to be pretty good. But less optimistic now.
because we expected this to be like the foundation season that then you use as the stepping point.
Yeah.
Right? Like, not necessarily that it was going to be as good as 2014. But truly, 2014 was that for 2015. If you think about before all the injuries, 2015, we were like going in ranked number two. Like, everyone was like, this is a national title contender, right? And so we were thinking that this would be the foundation for another one of those moments. Now you're not so sure, right?
Nope.
Now you're like, well, where do we go from here?
Maybe 2022, baby. Maybe 2022.
I mean, but that's the other thing that's so frustrating. Like you said it. This is a fan base that has become very spoiled, yes. But we've grown so accustomed to success. I mean,
the players should be used to it too. And you see a former players on Twitter that are annoyed right now.
Yes. Yeah, annoyed is putting it lightly.
It's a very polite way of saying
it. Yes. Yeah, I mean, I've texted with folks and messaged with folks who You know, and some folks that I'm like, hey, you want to come on and talk? And they're like,
probably a bad idea.
Yeah. Like, I'm going to say some things that are, you know, I may not be welcome back to practice. You know what I mean? But it's true. It's all true. And it needs to be fixed. Because you cannot go from, or you should not go from 2014-2015 being within an eyelash of winning a national championship, being in the conversation for the playoff, to now we are just struggling for bowl qualification.
Ninth in the Big 12.
Ninth in the freaking Big 12, man. That's it's terrible. It's just terrible.
Just terrible. Some positives on the defensive side of the ball has been Kari Coleman.
Ah, yes.
Players are playing great.
I am a Kari Coleman stan, let me tell you.
you started talking about Kari Coleman in the way that John Oliver talks about Adam Driver.
Yes.
You started just being very verbose about how you speak your love towards him. So
I was really going more for Leslie Knope and Ann Perkins, but yes, John Oliver works as well.
Yes, and the
nice thing is usually Kari Coleman likes them, so I'm like, oh, well, good. He likes the tweets.
That's good. Hey, yeah. Kari Coleman seems like a good kid. Yeah. So, again, one of those boot boys, which...
I'm glad you're not exceptionally creeped out by the ramblings of a 30-year-old man.
I mean, he doesn't care. I think football players are fine with it for the most part.
Yeah.
But speaking of the boot boys, New Orleans, I was like, hit hard by the hurricane last night, like the... fifth one this year. Whatever.
Yeah, geez.
My family's okay and no one asked, but I just throw it out there. Everyone seems to be going okay. There's a lot of rain and lost electricity. So
I should have asked you that, Billy. I'm sorry about that because I work with a guy who had to run home to Lafayette before the last one. And he had to hunker down. So it was on my mind. It was on my mind. No. It just didn't occur to me to ask you.
They're all good. Nothing but a little loss of power. So they'll be fine.
Good.
But yeah, and then also on the defense, it's Keon Stewart and Little Tomlinson time, like corner.
Yes.
And if you want them to get introduced to a game, this is probably a good game to get them plenty of reps because, again, Baylor is not very threatening on defense. Mm-hmm. So.
Oh, yeah. Well, you really like our secondary's chances in this game, really. If there is one matchup that you are extremely confident in, it is our secondary versus their receiver, specifically versus Charlie Brewer's ability to pass the ball right now. Yeah. I wouldn't be shocked at all if we get more than one interception in this game.
Yeah, I mean, this should be a game where they haven't been coming yet, right? They haven't. Mm-hmm. How many picks does ECU have this year?
Two? Yeah, I was going to guess two. Especially because the LeKendrick Van Zandt one wasn't a pick.
That was technically a fumble.
Yeah.
The return against Brock Purdy was
he did have a pick against Texas.
He did. Oh, yeah, that's right, he did. I'm trying to think of another one. Josh Foster had one.
When he
came in for our Darius.
Yes, yes.
Two picks on the season. So LVZ has one, and Josh Foster has one when he came in for our Darius Washington. But Washington, you got to think, gets one this week.
He's due.
So is Trey Merrick.
Mm-hmm,
Merrick is super due. Like, the fact he hasn't been as, I don't want to say impactful because that's not necessarily fair to him, but you would like to think he's a guy who people talk about as a top 20 draft pick would have more than – 16 tackles, and that's about it on the season so far.
Yeah.
And again, part of it's the matchups, part of it just the defense. Like, the offense hasn't been good, so it's hurting the defense some. But LeKendrick Van Zandt, Trevon Merrick, or Darius Washington, a pick each this game?
I would like to see that. Yeah, yeah.
Let's get them each one this game.
I'm looking defense for my player of the game.
Let's go and get into it. So TCU is somehow a 2.5-point favorite. Not somehow.
It makes sense. It makes sense.
It does make sense, I guess. But I don't feel great about this one. I'll go first. It's already wrote mine down. You've already seen it. I think TCU takes this one 20-10. I'm not going defense, although I just hinted that everyone gets an interception this game.
Yeah.
Go full on Oprah mode. I'm going to say Quentin Johnston gets one. I'm going to say he gets 112 yards and a score. Remember, he went to Temple.
Yeah, I was going to say that. Temple boy.
It's in the area of Waco. So I'm going to say Quentin Johnston gets back on the right track. The TCU offense does enough to win the game, and the TCU defense plays amazing. So.
Yeah, I have a very similar thought. I was going into this game thinking 17-10 Frogs win, and another young guy in a homecoming performance that I'd like to see as my MVP. Okay. I'm thinking Trey Tomlinson gets a pick six for the game winning touchdown, 17-10. And his return to Waco.
So are we talking like fourth quarter? Are we talking like 3 minutes?
No, I don't think it's going to be that exciting. It'll be like in the late third quarter.
And that'll be the last score of the game.
Yeah, exactly. And then we'll just struggle through a fourth quarter that a lot of punts and just like, is the clock out yet? Have we won yet? You know, that's what it's going
to
be like.
Can we run backwards for a safety to win the game? Yeah. One more untimed down because that's how this goes?
Yeah.
Yes. So, yeah, that'll do it for football talk this week. But on to the real football talk this
week. Yes, we are a soccer school.
We are a soccer school. The TCU Women Lady Frogs swept Kansas. Are they the Lady Frogs? They're the only soccer team. They can just be frogs,
I think all of the TCU women's teams are just frogs. Horned frogs, really? I think.
They're not Lady Frogs?
Well, because really the lady stuff is mostly in high school. When you see like lady this, lady that. Or like Stephenville's the Honeybees. You know, sometimes I like it when they change it up. It's not just lady; it's something different. Mm. Well, Central Arkansas's the Sugar Bears. I know they're female teams, and I agree with Shutdown Fullcast, and that should be a blanket name across all Central Arkansas athletics. The Sugar Bears. Yes.
I go back to Louisiana Tech. Like they're the Bulldogs, except for their women's basketball team. They're the Lady Texters.
Really?
Yep.
Like textures on their phones?
TECHSTERS. They won the first ever women's basketball national title.
Ah.
So shout out them. Shout out Kim Mulkey.
I mean, Bulldogs can be ladies too. There wouldn't be any more Bulldogs if...
Yeah, that's true.
You know.
Well, I thought they were... Either way, the Frog soccer team, because they're the only soccer team here, swept a Kansas road trip, won 2-0 against Kansas, and a 3-2 comeback win against Kansas State. They're up to number 4 in the country right now.
Love to see it, man. Love to see it.
Tawana Durasek and Yasmin Ryan got their goals against Kansas to win that game. Yasmin Ryan, that was her third goal of the season. It was also Emily Alvarado's fifth shutout of the year. And then going to the Kansas State game, they were down 2-0. Like, very quickly, I think it was like the 25th minute mark, they were down 2-0.
Mm.
And so they finally got put into a bit of a comeback mode. Their back was against the wall a little bit. And Gracie Bryan got her first goal of the season at the 46th minute mark. Olivia Hassler got her first goal of the year at the 77th minute mark. Mm. So it was a big game for a lot of, like, new Frogs. So.
Yeah. Man, this team is so fun. Mm-hmm. And Emily Alvarado is such a friggin' beast.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's... Man, it's good to be... It's fun to be good at stuff.
We're not used to this anymore. We'll take it. And then Grace Collins got the game winner, just 247 into overtime of that game. I like the golden goals. TC's gotten a couple of them. That's fun to see.
Mm.
And then Hassler's goal, I believe, was the number 7 play on SportsCenter the other night.
Oh.
Or was that with the game against Kansas? One of the goals this weekend was a top 10 on SportsCenter. So,
I haven't watched SportsCenter in a minute, man.
Well, the official account retweeted. It's the only reason I saw it.
Oh, okay. Yes. I missed that tweet, though.
So, yes, they were as a top 10 play on SportsCenter. It was a goal from range. So, they face OU at 7 p.m. on Friday on Fox Sports Oklahoma.
Avenge us, ladies.
Yes. Yeah, so, go beat Oklahoma and the real football. And the home finale, the regular season finale, is November 6th versus number 6 West Virginia.
All right.
That's going to be for the top spot in the Big 12 tournament going in. So.
Okay. And probably for the regular season title, I'd imagine.
I would imagine. So I said that. I didn't know if I should have checked to see if they were undefeated or not, or what their record was. I know they're number 6 in the country. They're probably pretty high up there as well still. Mm-hmm. But I'm sure it is. Like, it's probably for the Big 12 regular season championship.
Man, do it, girls. Do it. Get us another trophy for that case.
Let me see if I can find their record in soccer at the moment. It'd be cool if this link went directly to that. taking home country roads on West Virginia's website, because that's just how this goes. They play, well, it says home, oh, it's a home finale for them.
John Denver, you know, he attended Arlington Heights in Fort Worth, by the way.
Did you really?
Know that? Yeah. I don't know if he actually graduated from there, but I know he attended.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
Good for him.
Good for him.
That was, they are 6-1, so judging if Kansas beats West Virginia, tomorrow night, and TCU beats Oklahoma, I think TCU wins the Big 12 regular season title outright. And then they'll have to, but if West Virginia takes care of business against Kansas, and again, Kansas is also ranked in the top 10 as well. So it's a big win for the program as well. So keep an eye for that one. Keep an eye for the Lady Frogs.
Yeah, please do. Yeah, man.
I was just
going to talk more about just, it's so great. They're doing so good, and it's fun.
It's fun to be good.
Yeah.
And then basketball, the schedule is out. I know last week, I was like, oh, it's weird, the schedule's not out yet. The schedule came out shortly thereafter. We talked a little bit about their non-conference opponents. It's officially they're going to be hosting Providence on December 9th. It's my sister's birthday. It's also Chris Gardner's birthday. Do you know this fun fact about my sister and Chris Gardner?
No. They're the same person?
I wish. they were born on the same day in the same hospital.
Wow.
Yeah.
You said December 9th?
December 9th of 92 or whatever it was.
Oh.
That wasn't 92. 80.
I was going to say, 89? Chris isn't younger than me.
No, 89, I think it was. 88 or 89. But they have this they were born the same day in the same hospital.
Go figure.
So, so weirdly enough, my parents came across Chris Gardner's parents at the same time. What a small world that
is. It is indeed.
But yes, I might have been there too. I don't know, I was a couple years old, but who knows?
They probably left you at home.
I hope so. Yeah. But I wasn't there for that.
Yeah.
And then, so that's their game December 9th, and then Dickey's Arena December 12th versus Texas A&M.
Let's do it!
So hopefully they can beat the Aggies and prove to be better than that number 9 preseason ranking.
Yeah. You know, we talked about it whenever the last time was we talked about basketball, like outside of just Desmond Bane, that next year really you're chasing that NIT. If you get an NIT bid, you're feeling like it was a really successful season next year. And then the year after that...
2021 in all sports, baby.
That's it.
Mike Miles, again... Get used to that name. I've been talking about him for a while now.
Yes, point guard.
That's the guy to watch. I think you'll see a lot of him, Farabello, and Fuller at running the guard spots. I think by 2021, Mike Miles is your guy there. Mm-hmm. You got Chuck O'Bannon, who is approved to play right away.
Yes.
So you feel okay. Kevin Samuels was obviously great. Arjun Ember came a long way. Jane Ladie, who I run to every once in a while now, as another forward there to keep an eye on. This is a team that's going to be young and fun to watch, especially that guard position.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Forward. If you're playing in just about any other conference besides the Big 12, you feel really good about this team.
Yeah, you don't feel great about the Big 12. This is you're going to be calling for an NIT bid, like you said. And then on to the Bane mock drafts. Now that we're just, I think, 2 weeks away now from the NBA draft. And then
fast approaching.
And then like a month away from the season starting, apparently, because the owners somehow want to get straight into the season again. They've got him... The NBC's newest mock had him going 19 to Brooklyn. USA Today has him going 30 to Boston. And then he's not in the CBS mock draft this week after last week going 21 to Philly there. So I don't know what's going on there.
I mean, we keep seeing him mid to late first round.
Yep.
Let's bring him to Dallas. Stay in Dallas, man. That's what I'd like to say.
I mean, that'd be fun. I'd get that jersey in a heartbeat if he stays in Dallas. So.
Come to Dallas.
Or if he goes to New Orleans, I don't know.
Yeah.
Sign me up for that. So Twitter questions, you ready?
Let's do it.
Let's go. Let's start with this newest one. Tommy at TRF51. Is Agent Zero still on the team? I've not seen him in what little time he got to play and he produced results, which is more than I can say for some.
We were talking about this before we started recording. Yeah. As far as we're aware, yes, he's still on the team.
He is. I'm checking the roster right now just to make sure he's still on the roster. But he got hurt against Texas, so
yeah.
he hasn't played since then. So. Hoping he gets better and stays on the team and hopefully produce a little bit more. So.
Yeah, man, because that's a dude who can help us. You know, I mean, yeah. Kari Coleman, he has come on very nicely. Again, Kari Coleman Stan. I need to change my Twitter name to Kari Coleman Stan account. We could always use more pressure off the edge. And Marcel Brooks is really the dude to do that.
Bayou City Frog, Twitter questions here. We're all obviously pretty down right now. One thing that I have found helps... is by finding something to be grateful for.
Oh,
so
yes.
With regards to TCU football, what are you grateful for? For him, it's the being in a Power 5 conference and playing teams in a mostly Texas-Oklahoma footprint.
Yeah, I agree with that. And that's a very good sentiment as we approach the Thanksgiving season, right? Yes, definitely the trail that Coach P has blazed here. Yeah. He's as much as we struggled in the last three seasons, we have returned to prominence. We are back in that Southwest Conference type league, you know, a Power 5 league with all of these Texas schools that we hate and love to play. That is definitely very fun. I mean, you used to always say that as a kid, like, man, I would love to have the Southwest Conference back even if we were losing again. Well, now it's happening. So it's like, well, hey, Lil Clinton, did you mean it? yes, it's very fun to be in the Big 12 and to play these teams consistently. So yes, I would heartily agree with Bayou City's sentiment.
The GP era in a nutshell is what you should be grateful for. The last 20 years of TCU football. Again, the last couple have been rough, but you'll take the first 18 over the last two in a heartbeat. You'll suffer the last two for the first 18, I feel like.
And if we're talking about something specifically this year
to
be grateful for, man, I'm grateful for Max Duggan.
Yep.
That is a kid that I want leading my team, man. Warrior, yes, absolutely. That kid has so much passion, so much heart, so much intensity. Yeah, don't think for a second that I was lumping him into that broad statement of that it looks like the offense doesn't have a lot of want to. He does.
You can tell
he wants it. And he seems like a kid who hates losing more than he likes winning, and I love that about him. Love so much about him. And also, just there's so many young, talented kids on this team that are just bursting with potential. Very grateful for them. Hope they get to achieve it.
Yeah, I'll take, if you're talking about people specifically on this team now, I'll take Garrett Walla.
Yeah.
I've been a Walla stan for like before Stan was a thing.
Yeah.
Like for years now, he's been my boy. So very excited to see Wallow and what he does at the next level, as well as Tron Mayer, Davis Washington, all those guys.
And so, might I serve up a Blair Conright to you as well? Blair
Conright, yeah. Yes. I want to see a little more, but I am very excited about the potential that I saw early on.
Yes, indeed you did.
You're ADJD. You have to pitch a high-level five-year plan on TC football to leadership. What is it? So I'm assuming that means like the Bushinis. You got
the boosters.
You got to say, hey, there's 5 years. What are we doing these next 5 years? I think first and foremost, you do something with the offense.
But is that in his purview?
What, ADJD?
Yeah, I feel like that's more Coach P's call.
But I think
he can put pressure on Coach P too.
Right, I guess, but I think ADJD is probably talking to, like you said, boosters, mm-hmm. probably fans, probably leadership. Also, probably includes Bushini. Like, hey, like if you're trying to, what do the next 5 years look like for TCU football?
Yeah.
What would you include? I mean, I think GP might still be here.
Mm-hmm.
I think you got to do something with the offense. That's all I would do. Like, yeah. I think the defense is still salty. Like,
oh yeah.
Still, you can't complain about what GP's done.
Salty AF, you might even say.
You gotta find maybe a single mind offensive coordinator and get it someone who's maybe newer and fresher and has new takes on things. That's the only thing I would change. Like if you have make Stats a war of the offensive coordinator. There it is.
Oh my God. Done. Pandora's box has been opened. What have you done?
If you listen to this, no one tell him I said that. just to see what happens.
Yeah, because almost certainly he will acknowledge that on Twitter if he listens to the podcast.
If he listens to the podcast. We'll see how that goes.
Can you imagine, my lord, so much of what would be wrapped up into that decision.
Just a Justin Turner twin running around the sidelines.
Yeah.
How concerned are you about impact players transferring at the end of the season? A little. But I think that regards to Zach Evans. I think that's the, if I had to guess, I think Zach Evans is one of those guys that might go, hey, look, I'm a five-star. I'm supposed to be getting all the run. I'm supposed to be the next Adrian Peterson. And they didn't use me. Again, not knowing anything. That's just purely what it seems like those kind of guys do.
Yeah.
Is not get it. But here's still been my GP is playing Chinese checkers. Everyone else is playing checkers. Thinking about this. This recruiting class is small. It's like 7 players right now.
Yeah.
There's going to be a lot of people with this being an extra year of eligibility that are going to be fighting for playing time at other schools next year.
Uh-huh.
This could be a spot where like, oh, cool. Spencer Rattler's still here for 4 more years. Oklahoma just got this guy. That kid from DC who's like the next Michael Vick or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, could this be a spot for someone like him, or could it be for not necessarily quarterback? It's the first name that pops in my head.
Some offensive lineman, maybe?
Maybe, like, Nebraska's going to have, like, here you go. Alabama's bringing in the Brockmeyer kids from All Saints.
Yeah. If they bring Shout everyone, out to Coach Brockmeyer.
Yeah. If they bring everyone back again for 2 years, it could be another 2 years where they get to go play.
Yeah.
It'd be nice to just scoop them up out of nowhere off the transfer wires.
I don't think they'd come to TCU, but
I don't think so either. But that's my rationale for this being a crazy small class. It is you're playing Chinese checkers and also playing tic tac toe.
Yeah,
and maybe you've got plenty of room on a team for players that can't find room in other places.
Yeah, we have typically ever since the transfer market has really become a thing. I feel like we've won in it more consistently than we've lost in it, because a lot of times the guys. And I love Dylan Thomas. I hated to see him go. But a lot of times the guys you see transferring out are guys where it's like they're transferring out because they've got a better opportunity somewhere else.
Who was transferred out and had a better career?
Well, Justin Rogers remains to be seen.
Yeah, but I'm not.
But I can't think of anyone off the top of my head who has.
That is straight up just transferred, like not.
Not decommitted.
Not decommitted.
Yeah, but transferred.
Been here, transferred away. I can't think of somebody just. I really can't think of one.
Yeah.
That's gone on and like lit the world on fire. Because like you said, there are plenty of commits that have decommitted and gone out.
But yeah, where you're like, gosh, if we could only have kept them.
Onto him.
Yeah. But I would not be, you mentioned running back. That is the position that I would not be the least bit surprised if one of them, I don't know who, but that is a crowded room.
Yep.
And I'm trying to get a former running back on the show to talk about what it's like to be in a crowded running back room and how you make it work.
We've been close to him the last couple weeks. Hopefully next week we make it work with him. But,
it's 4 guys is a lot to split carries. Yeah. So, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if one of those guys transfers. Hopefully, it's, I mean,
who do you hope for?
Well, that's what I was literally about to say, because I said hopefully, and then I was like, no, not hopefully. Like, I don't want to lose any of those guys.
Yeah, you want to keep them all.
They're all great. Really talented. Yeah. So, yeah. I don't know.
Do you guys still believe in the 2021 potential? And is Billy going to delete his article about guaranteeing a win in Norman next year?
Well, that's a huge question.
Well, I'm not going to delete it. They lose a game in Norman every year now.
Yeah.
It used to be a place where no one won there.
Yeah.
Why can't it be TCU next season?
Yeah. Why not us?
Yeah, right?
I mean, yeah, the potential still exists in 2021 just because of you've got these talented players coming back with another year under their belt. But, man,
it's going to entirely depend on if they make some changes to the offense.
Exactly.
Yep.
Exactly.
And we haven't seen that yet. We don't know yet. So.
Yes.
How bad are you guys missing TCU baseball right now? Pretty bad.
Yes. I was thinking about that today, man. I was like, man. I was like, look at my watch, right? Like, when does baseball start?
I was getting really into the World Series. Very much enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Clayton Kershaw.
Can you stinking believe that decision?
No. But it happens every year. Last year, the Astros pulled Greinke in favor of Will Smith. Or was it Will Smith? Some random reliever who came in and gave up the home run. I'm like, what are you guys doing?
But it's like, and you saw so many like former MLB players tweeting about this. Like, oh my God, if I had 73 pitches, 9 Ks, and I'm dealing, and my manager's like, yanks me, he's like, I'm throwing a freaking fit.
I would have thrown the ball over the center field while I was pulling Trevor Bauer from last year.
Yeah.
Turn around and chunk it or spike it in the ground or whatever.
It's
like, and very proud of Blake Snell for saying the right things afterward. Like,
yeah.
Like, he's in the moment, obviously, you saw the F-bomb that was on national TV, but.
How could
like,
you not?
No, yeah. I mean, I was thinking the same thing. You know, my girlfriend doesn't watch baseball at all. She's like, what are they doing?
Yeah.
Like, she was like, are they taking them out of there? I go, yeah, that's. I was trying to explain that's what the numbers say to do. I wouldn't have done it.
Yeah.
That's what the numbers say to do. So
at a certain point, though, you have to combine the numbers with some rationality and some common sense.
You've got a guy who's pitched the best he has since he won the Cy Young a couple years ago.
Yeah.
Let him keep rolling. But either way, congrats to Clayton Kershaw.
Yeah, yeah. Happy for him.
The only player I really cared about in that series. So, Will Taylor at Taylor 12W. How does the fan base view a season where we only beat rivals plus Kansas? So that means your only wins are Texas, Baylor, Texas Tech, and SMU.
That's
assuming the SMU game gets played.
Quite frankly, things could be a lot worse. Could lose to your rivals.
At this point, you'll take it.
Yes.
That means you're going to beat Kansas, Texas, Baylor, and Tech. I mean, what we just say a second ago, you think they can also beat who that team we
Kansas.
Said we Well, that's the four wins. We just said they could win three of the next four.
Yeah.
And they'll probably lose Oklahoma State. That's kind of a thing like, well, that's probably where we're looking.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, that's – I don't want to say best case scenario because you could shock the world, but that's most likely scenario at this point.
Yeah.
And, you know, I feel like I say most years where it's like, well, hey, if you at least beat Texas and Baylor, then, you know, at least you beat Texas and Baylor.
Yeah.
Right? At least you can feel good about that. It never gets old beating Texas and Baylor. So – there are worse things. You could lose to Texas and Baylor, for example.
Let me see. This. Okay, so I'm assuming it means 2020 instead. Because I typed in 2019. If you could pick only one of our five 2019 draft picks to bring back to this year's team, who would you pick?
From the 2019 season, I'm assuming.
So I'm assuming. Yeah, because yeah, I looked at 2019. I was like, okay, it's Collier, Banigou, and Summers.
Yes.
Yes, 2020.
It's Lucas Niang, full stop, no discussion for me.
Yeah, I was about to say, it's got to be Niang.
Yeah.
And then it's Blacklock.
Yeah.
Like, it's Niang first, fully healthy Lucas Niang.
Mm-hmm.
Hands down, no question. Who would help us the most right now? Lucas Niang.
Yeah, Lucas Niang.
Then finish up with Brian Banks, Abby Banks, 2121. I'm hearing rumors that Ewers decommitted from UT as a silent commit to TCU because, quote, TCU owns UT. Can you confirm?
Yeah, man, he's going to come here and play linebacker.
Yeah, right? I cannot confirm that as a fact. But if you were surprised the fact that he decommitted from UT, you're dumb.
That decommitment was so delicious, though, just the same.
It was enjoyable. But if you're surprised, you're not paying attention.
Yeah.
Really trying to test Clint here. Would you rather beat Baylor by one and lose every other game by 30 or lose to Baylor by 30 but win every other game by one?
You got to go with losing to Baylor by 30 as much as it pains me, because then you're essentially talking about 2014, which is a fantastic season. That game, that felt like a loss by 30 because it was so soul-crushing, right?
Yeah, I'd rather lose by 30 than lose by 3.
Yeah, yeah.
I'd rather I'd rather lose like we did to West Virginia 2 years ago.
Yeah.
When that was, I was watching that on TV. I was like, oh, they have no chance of winning. Go, yeah. I was like, they have no chance of winning this game.
Yeah.
And then.
But if that's your only loss, that's your only loss.
Yeah.
And you've got a chance.
You go 10-1, that puts you in the Big 12 title game.
You've theoretically got a chance to be in the playoff.
Yeah, theoretically.
You know.
Now, as long as you don't play Baylor again in the Big 12 title game.
Yeah.
Then you're in the
Big 12 title game. You can beat him in the Big 12 title game.
You win that game.
Ha ha, loophole. Yes. Yeah, so, how do you like that?
You can only watch 10 college football games the rest of your life. What is your strategy? What are you holding out for? No replays or highlights later. You can only read about games you didn't watch.
Okay. I feel like you got to really be conservative. Keep them in your pocket for as long as you can. Probably only use them on big postseason games.
Yeah.
You know, so like obviously you're waiting for that hopeful playoff, that hopeful national championship, right? But then if you keep holding them in your pocket, you're only doing them at a bowl game here, a bowl game there that are big, then theoretically you're like, I'm 82, might not have a lot of time left. I'm going to spend all 8 I got left or whatever it is.
On season tickets.
On like a full season, yeah.
Man, so you just predicted the next 50 years we're only going to go to 2 bowl games?
No, I
just... That's what you just said,
Clint? No, that's... That's if you only... If you were playing it super conservative and you're like, hey, I'm only going to use this on like a playoff or national championship. Then, so I was saying that was the benefit of
that. You think they only go to 2 playoffs in the next 50 years. Wow. Someone's real bummed out about this year.
Well, yeah, I guess you make a point there.
I would skip every game the rest of this year, and then I'll use them all next year. 2021, baby. Yeah. 2021.
All the chips are on the table.
What's the best knock-knock joke?
Oh, geez. This is one of those things where it's like you don't keep them in your mind well enough, right, I mean, to just pull them out.
It's got to be knock-knock.
The orange, you glad I didn't say banana?
Well, I was going to say boo-hoo.
Oh.
Boo.
So, okay, we'll do it again.
Knock-knock.
Who's there?
Boo.
Boo-hoo.
Yeah, don't cry about it. Or something like that. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
Now that it's Halloween, that's the best one, so boo. In my opinion. Last set of questions from B-Banks. Would you move to Waco for 2 years and be unable to leave the town for a 31-game winning streak?
Yeah, you got to do it. Plus, then you can be really you could be so obnoxious to all the Baylor people.
That's true.
That would be worth the price of admission.
You can go. I mean, I assume you can go to all the Baylor games and boo them. I'm assuming you can go to every Baylor home game.
Yes.
But, like, I would go to
just be just so to boo obnoxious.
Them. Yeah. 100%. I could see that being. I could see some pluses to that, but hard pass.
Yeah, it would suck to live in Waco.
You can only go to Magnolia Market so many times,
right?
Before you go broke. another Big 12 volleyball match was postponed due to the Rona. Oklahoma and Iowa State this weekend.
Oh, did you see, by the way, how the Big Ten is not letting Nebraska fill that slot that Wisconsin vacated?
They shouldn't.
Why?
Because you want to keep it in conference. So that every team you're playing against is following the same protocol.
Big Ten is just hating on Nebraska, and it's kind of hilarious as an outsider. But
it is hilarious.
But it's also let them play, man.
And I understand, and I get it. I have no problem with them playing, but I get their reason. Like, hey, no, we all agreed, except for Nebraska, ironically, to play just Big Ten games. That way we know everyone we're playing against is doing the same protocol.
Who cares? Like,
I know you don't care. You don't care about the virus. You think it's a hoax. But
I don't think it's a hoax, Billy. I don't think it's a hoax. I do think that some unnecessary extremes have been taken, but I don't think it's a hoax. Of course, sure. I have a friend who died of it, actually. My thing is, like, Nebraska is, from Nebraska's perspective, they're like, listen, you know we're not going to compete for a Big 12 title. You made sure of that, okay, giving us Ohio State. But let us play football. All we wanted was to play football. Just let us do it.
And you know they started with at Ohio State on purpose.
Right?
You know,
oh, yeah. You know, that was 100% on purpose.
I hope whoever they play their third week gets COVID, too. Like, I hope whoever they play next keeps getting it. Let's see. Who do they have?
Misfortune is hilarious.
Yeah, especially when it's Nebraska. It's a power, or it's a powerhouse like this. Oh, was it?
Yeah, it used to be powerhouse.
It's Northwestern next. No ill will on Northwestern. Penn State would be fun.
Hey, Northwestern.
It's also a road game. Nebraska can't play home games because all their home games get COVID. You get Penn State in 2 weeks. You get Illinois in 3 weeks, and then finish with Minnesota. Hope they all get postponed. It'd be hilarious. And then, would you never see your co-host in person ever again for a 74-game win streak? You can still text and or sext.
Billy, I love you, but I would do that so fast.
Zoom, baby.
Yeah.
Zoom. Like, that's the next, what, 6 years going undefeated, roughly.
Yeah. Yes. That is 100% worth it. Yeah,
100% worth it.
I would not see most people for that.
Pretty much anybody.
Yeah.
Pretty much anybody, and that'll happen.
Yeah.
Yes. So, yeah, we don't really care about personal interaction anymore.
Especially when a 71-game win streak is on the line. Yeah,
every game the next 6 years, I'll take it.
Yeah.
Promote something, Clint.
Well, follow me on Twitter at Clint_Foster55. Follow me on Instagram at TheClintFoster. And check out my videos. You know, I will tell you that I have been utterly miserable the last two Saturdays watching these two games. But I feel like they have produced some of my funniest TCU fan reaction videos.
Those make good content, that's so, for sure. Misery loves company.
Yeah, so watch the Oklahoma video. You can find it on YouTube. TCU fans during the Oklahoma game, and suffer with me and laugh.
At Billy Wessels, somebody hire me, someone give me a job, please. And then go vote. Most people already have, it seems like, but go vote.
Yes.
So make your voice heard. You only get this every 2 years, I guess, technically.
Yep.
The people care more about these every 4-year election. So please go vote. I'm assuming you already have.
Oh, yeah. I got my sticker.
Yeah, same. So talk to you guys next week.